All right, grab a Bible and turn to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 14. Deuteronomy 14, from time to time, people pose questions. I'll refrain from commenting on the fact that there are some people that you only hear from them when they have a question. But the big difference with most people is whether or not they've taken the time to get into their Bible. Now, we're going to look at Deuteronomy 14 and point out some things, make some comments. If you have studied your Bible, you're going to get what I have to say. If you have not studied your Bible or the subject, you won't. And the reason you won't is because you have to take Scripture with Scripture, and you also have to be willing to understand how God deals with people. Now, the question in Deuteronomy 14 is connected to a statement that is made in verse 26, and we're going to read the context, but we'll read verse 26 first. "And thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen, or for sheep, or for wine, or for strong drink, or for whatsoever thy soul desireth, and thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice thou and thine household." And so the immediate question is, someone comes up with, "Well, see, it's not forbidden, strong drink or wine." Now, I am totally amazed at Christians, and I'm totally amazed at Bible-believing leaders, that somehow they think that the issue of whether to drink alcohol or not as a New Testament believer is a law issue, a rule issue, a do or don't issue. And I have a feeling that they want it to be that, so they can say that it's you cannot do it, so that anybody else that does it is wrong, since God's already dealt with them and told them not to do it, or the only reason they don't drink alcohol is because they know other people believe they shouldn't do it. You get me? Now, here's the thing. I don't take of alcohol. And I haven't since however many years that is now. That's a long time. 1973, blah, 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 blah. What is that? 46 years. Okay? So the point is, my reason for it is, the Bible tells me that wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. There's no one verse in all the Bible that says you can't do it and still be a Christian, or you can't do it and still, you know God. However, there's a preponderance of verses and evidence that says that it is a mocker and raging, and that whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. In the passage in Deuteronomy 14, it's not a passage about wisdom. It's not a passage about what you ought to do if you're wise. It's a generic statement. And God makes generic statements, and then He watches to see what you do with that statement. God gives you liberty. And He wants to see, Galatians 5, use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. You see, Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Okay? So, the issue isn't, is there a hard and fast law against it? That's not the issue. There are some people in the past, in the Philadelphia church period, some of them that drank wine. They did. And some of them you'd be surprised who there. I'm not even going to bring them up, because then that starts this whole other thing of people debating. But there were some people that if you didn't know that they drank wine, you would respect them. And suddenly you don't respect them, even though they are highly respected. There was one who was known for the brand of cigar he smoked. And the main reason he quit smoking them was because they started marketing them as the brand that Charlie smokes. Speaking of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. So you need to understand that when you come to your Bible, if you're not careful, you really want it to be a rule book, because you don't want somebody else doing what the Holy Spirit's told you not to do. Or you want to do it, but you don't dare because of what other people think. My staying away from, avoiding, abstaining from alcohol has nothing to do with what anybody else in the whole world thinks. You say, well, it's about testimony. No, it's not. It is a testimony, but that's not why I don't do it. I choose to not to because of all the things the Scripture says about it and for the pitfalls that we find in Scripture. And then you can see some of those pitfalls in life, but they start with seeing them in Scripture. If there was no other picture in the world but Scripture, we have it right here. Okay? Now, we've done other whole lessons where we go through. We understand the difference between new wine and fermented wine and all that sort of thing and fruit of the vine and all those things. Okay? Here's the point. The statement in Deuteronomy 14 is not a statement that says, hey, help yourself, eat, drink, and be merry. That's not what it says. It's also not a command to partake. So let's start in verse 21 at the paragraph mark. Ye shall not eat of anything that dieth of itself. You find it in the field, it's dead, don't eat it. For the most part, you probably shouldn't eat roadkill, for the most part. It didn't die of itself, but you don't know how long it's been there dead by itself. Thou shalt give it unto the stranger that is in thy gates. That he may eat it, or thou mayest sell it unto an alien. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not seeth a kid in his mother's milk. You don't take and you don't marinate the veal or the little lamb chops in the mother's milk. Okay? Now notice you can give it to a stranger. You can sell it to an alien. How about that? All right, verse 22. Thou shalt truly tithe of all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. That choosing's off in the distance for them at the time. In the place which he shall choose, the place is named there. The tithe of thy corn, and of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. He said you give the first fruit, 10% of that first fruit to God. You're giving 10% to God so that you can learn to trust him. And if the way be too long for thee so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from thee which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there, when the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, then thou shalt turn it into money, and bind up the money in thine hand, and thou shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. And then our verse. And thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen, or for sheep, or for wine, or for strong drink, or for whatsoever thy soul desireth, and thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice thou in thine household. And the Levite that is within thy gates, thou shalt not forsake him, for he hath no part nor inheritance with thee. And he goes on to give other things. All right, so let's note something here. Verse 23, it's too far for them to lead their livestock or to drive their livestock, and it's too far for them to carry the grain, number one. So they live so far away from the place God shall choose, be. They're going to the place. It's a place yet to be disclosed. It's too far for them to carry everything or to drive or lead their livestock. So, C, they sell it. D, they turn it into money so that it can be turned into something edible and consumable during the feast. And then E, he says, you do as you please. But don't forget your manners. Now, here's where Christians stumble. Number one, they stumble on liberty. We've got several different audio files here on the website on liberty, okay? Got a few messages we're going to preach in the near future on liberty. So my whole point is this. They stumble on liberty. Many Christians would rather have law than liberty because then they don't have to pass the test of liberty. Now, in this same book, Deuteronomy in chapter 29, in the same book of your Bible, the Lord makes a statement down there. Okay? And in Deuteronomy chapter 29, and let's look down with this thing that Moses says after the Lord in verse 1. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel. He says in verse 5, "And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. Ye have not eaten bread," they ate manna, "neither have you drunk wine or strong drink, that ye might know that I am the Lord your God." Okay? So the Lord was going to lead them, and they had this history behind them of how to treat and how to think about this thing of wine and strong drink. Now, when you go back in your writings, now Deuteronomy is like two. It's like deuce, D-E-U-C-E, like a dually truck has deuce wheels on the back, each side. Okay? And so Deuteronomy is a re-giving, a restating of the law. So that means that you make many references, and you should appropriately, to the other books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then finally he closes the books of Moses out with Deuteronomy. All right, Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 8, "And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord their God hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moses," and etc. Now, he gives the Aaronic family the do nots. Why? That he said, "You may teach," verse 11. Now let me ask you this, as a Christian, let's forget for a minute wine or strong drink. Do you consume things that you know are bad for your body? And do you consume them in amounts that you know are bad for your body? Do you know it says your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? Do you? Do you know he said in 1 Corinthians, "I keep under my body"? In other words, I keep under my body. So you see, as a Christian, we know what God has taught us and what he's teaching us. And we know what he does is he says, "Please yourself, do as you please, but don't forget your manners. Don't forget what I taught you. Don't forget how this works." Now, you'll remember in Numbers chapter 6, he said this, "Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, etc." But it says, "He shall drink no vinegar of wine nor vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried." Deuteronomy 6, nothing of the vine. So if you were trying to take this and make it law, do you ever use vinegar on your salad or when you're cooking or marinating meat like many of us do? See, if you're not careful, you want it to be a legal thing, a law thing as a Christian. Or other Christians want it to. When Samson was prophesied in Judges 6, he told even the mother not to eat of anything of the vine. So let us think of a few verses, just a few, and we'll just put this out there. All right. So Proverbs says, if you're wanting to write it down, Proverbs 20, verse 1, and I've got written in the margin of my teaching Bible here, I wrote, "This is a test of who is wise." Not the test, but it is a test. "Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." See, some of you, you don't abstain because it's not wise to do it. The only reason you really abstain is because you don't want other people to think weird about you or wrong about you or judge you. So it either has to be condemned and unlawful or you're going to be tempted. But you see, this is about wisdom and discretion. This is about what people do when they're wanting to be wise. Go to the last chapter of Proverbs, if you've got your Bible open. if you don't have your Bible open, I mean, it's one thing if it's impossible, but if you don't have your Bible open, then you're really not wanting to learn your Bible and be able to help others, to teach others also. Proverbs 31, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Okay? What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Ready? There's a mother teaching her son. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Ready? It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Do you know why people want to have so many laws about, say, a dry area or a dry county or a dry town? Because they think that that's going to change things. But we know that doesn't. History has proven that that doesn't change things. That doesn't mean just make it open slather either. It's just you're not going to legislate right or wisdom. He says, give strong drink unto him that's ready to perish, like medicinal. Wine unto those that be of heavy hearts, like a prescribed way of getting them through something. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. So he gives it. Now, that's why you have Christians who abuse medication, would not touch alcohol, nobody pings them. Because it's become a legalistic law type thing rather than a wisdom thing and a character thing and a choice thing. So, when he makes a statement in Deuteronomy, number one, he didn't tell them that they had to go do it. And he wasn't saying, put your mouth to it. He said, the test is, go ahead and sell it and go there. Please yourself, but mind your manners. Now, that's where the child of God can really shine as a disciple of Jesus Christ and not of a religion or a denomination, not of peer pressure, not of, quote, testimony. I do not abstain from alcohol for testimony's sake. I don't want it because it can mess up your judgment, because it can, you say, well, it has to be horrible for your health. Maybe not. Maybe not. There's some people live to be 95 years old, have a drink every day. So what? There's people who've been 95 years old, smoked all the time. So what? It's not about testimony. It's about wisdom. So in Deuteronomy chapter 14, he's given them a chance to display their wisdom. In Isaiah 28, he says, woe, verse 1, woe to the crown of pride to the drunkards of Ephraim, excuse me, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. In verse 7, but they have also erred through wine and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Now, here's the lesson to take away from Deuteronomy 14. It's not about lawfulness. It's about what is expedient. It's about what edifies. It's about what is wise. You see? And Christians today, they want, number one, they want everybody. And this is where L.E. Maxwell nailed it down in Crowded to Christ, okay? They want everyone, this is where Oswald Chambers nailed it down in his teachings. They want everyone to have to live like they live, or they get an inner, hidden, bitter spirit about them. If someone is looking for some excuse to drink, let them. And don't think you're better than them, because you're not. Especially if we are putting things sometimes in our body that we shouldn't put in there. Now, are we better off without alcohol? Absolutely. But you'd also be better off without a lot of prescribed medicines that are okay for people to take rather than, say, alcohol, because then they're not taking alcohol. Well, there's a lot of prescribed medicines. No one said don't take any. Didn't say that, did I? But I am saying this, that this passage and questions about this passage. Okay? Number one, if you can't answer them biblically like we have, you're not studying your Bible, and you need to. Maybe you're 5 years old in the Lord. Maybe you're 50 years old. Whatever it is, you need to get in your book. Number two, I realize some of us are called and gifted to give answers, but do not want simple, cut-and-dried answers. That's a, quote, fundamentalist, independent Baptist way. It's lazy. Why would God say what he said? Because he says, okay, it's too far. The place might be too far off in the future that I choose to put my name. But you're going to go there, and you're going to have feasts there, and it's going to be a special time there. Okay? Let me ask you something. Just put it in context. Let's just say you go to a special meeting. You go to a revival meeting or a camp meeting or a Bible conference, and then you all go out and eat, and then maybe you go to buffets. Okay? You ever find yourself eating more than you ought to? You ever find yourself drinking more Coke, Sprite, coffee, tea, lemonade, Dr. Pepper? Huh? Then you ought to. You say, well, that's not the same as... Okay. It's not. See, your problem is you think that if you make them the same, then that means alcohol's okay because you do what you do okay. No, it means what we do sometimes. Our indulgence is wrong. We just got to be willing to put it all in the same thing. See, when a person or people or thinking says, why would God put it that way? Why would he? He wants to know what you will do if he says, please yourself, but mind your manners. Please yourself, but mind your manners. And so this is why he puts many things in your Bible. This is why when you come to your Bible, you find things that Christians, listen, the worst thing about that I find, the spirit amongst Christians, and isn't this amazing, okay? Isn't this amazing? That the place you find two of these statements is in 1 Corinthians. The Corinthians were carnal, he told them that. They were saved, but they had gotten fleshly in their Christianity, and they were gifted, okay? But they'd become fleshy. And so, when he makes these statements, and he commends that, what he does is he's showing us. For example, in 1 Corinthians 6 is where he says, "What know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." In that same passage is where he says, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Beside that, write 10:23. Same book, 10:23. He said, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not." In chapter 10, he's talking about the cup, verse 16. He's talking about things sacrificed. Okay, so understand that he writes to the carnal people, telling them that they've got to start exercising limitation based on not what's lawful, what's expedient, what is edifying, what keeps us under God's relationship. What if you get to heaven, Christian out there, and you find out that a lot of your abstinence, as far as God's concerned, counted for nothing? And here's why it might. It might count for nothing because, ready? Because you only did it because of the pressure of others or what they thought of you or so-called testimony, not because of your relationship to Jesus Christ. You see, when people keep pulling the testimony thing and the testimony thing, you say, well, don't you believe in heaven? If you live for Christ, you'll have a testimony. Don't you get that? But if you're doing what you do and then having indulgence and excess in other areas that other people go ahead and have it in? What about things? A man's life consisteth not in the things of the abundance of the things which he possesseth, right? So the question in Deuteronomy 14, the angle that says, why does it say that? That means it must be okay. That's not an honest approach. That is not an honest approach. The honest approach is, well, he said, please myself, but he also said, mind my manners. And he also said, all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful, but I won't be brought in the power of any. All things are lawful, but all things edify not. You say, then a Christian could legally, by the scriptures, take a drink of alcohol. Can't find a command. Have you ever wondered why there's all this debate? It's because there's no commandment against it. But there is a command against foolishness, and there is a command, ready, for the priest to abstain and for kings to abstain. And so then he says, you're a royal priesthood, a king priesthood, and holy nation. He says, he hath made us to be kings and priests unto our God. So if we're to be a nation of that, then we are to be a nation that abstains for that reason. And we don't care what other people do. I honestly believe, come to Galatians 5 before we close. This is pretty much just the spontaneous response to a question. And it's not, some of it's not the answer people want sometimes, but it's what's right. It's what people need to be hearing. Now watch. Galatians 5. Turn there. Galatians chapter 5. Give you a second to get there. Galatians 5. Watch this. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. We're going to pick it up in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. We know the first ones obviously are the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Okay, fine. Idolatry, witchcraft. Ready? Stubbornness. Okay? And disobedience. Right? And rebellion. Idolatry and witchcraft. Okay? Hatred. Variance. Now watch. Emulations. Copying. Following. Being like. Wrath. Strife. Seditions. Heresies. Ready? Envyings. Envyings. Christians envy the liberty of others way too much. It does not matter to me if God lets you do something. Look, it doesn't matter to me if God lets you correct the Bible. It doesn't make it right. I'm not going to do it. God has blessed some men who quoted the original languages and all that kind of stuff, those terminology. He's blessed them in the past. That's between them and their maker. What I do know is I can't do that. What I do know is it's not wise to touch the alcohol. But it's also not wise to indulge in other things that Christians just feed their faces on. Or sometimes their minds and ears on. So the passage has an easy exposition on it. Father, pray you'd use these things. Lord, we know that the biggest thing with you is where is our heart and our mind about things. And we know, Father, that you want to know what we'll do when you tell us to please ourselves. You want to see if we'll mind our manners. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.